was lost in my sin. I remember well that night when the Lord saved my soul from hell. And I thank God every day for His grace on me, 'cause I am washed, I'm redeemed, and I've been set free. And I thank the Lord for the glorious night when the blessed Holy Ghost led me to the light at the altar where I prayed. Jesus washed my sin away, and oh, how sweet is the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. God's amazing grace still amazes me.
Now there have been times I've walked away from the Lord. My sins were many, my heart grew cold. Fellowship was broken, I felt so all alone. But it didn't matter how far I'd gone, God was still faithful when I came back home. My sins were forgiven, and His grace to me was shown. So I stand here before you tonight, rejoicing everything's alright, 'cause in my heart I know that I am safe. And how I long to do God's will, and I know I fail Him still, but I'm so glad that His grace never will. Oh, and I
thank the Lord for the glorious night when the blessed Holy Ghost led me to the light at the altar where I prayed. Jesus washed my sin away, and oh, how sweet is the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. God's amazing grace still amazes me.
And I
thank the Lord for the glorious night when the blessed Holy Ghost led me to the light at the altar where I prayed. Jesus washed my sin away, and oh, how sweet is the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. God's amazing grace still amazes me.
And I
thank the Lord for the glorious night when the blessed Holy Ghost led me to the light at the altar where
I'm not. for the Lord's amazing grace this morning. Amen. Remain standing for our pastor this morning.
Good to see everybody here this morning. We had a good Sunday school class this morning out here. Brother Kerry Abbott and his wife Susan was with us to talk about their work and so forth. I'm going to ask a question. Y'all sing Amazing Grace in French? Can you sing a verse in French? He's going to come up and lead us in prayer. And if she wants to come up, I'll let her come up and do that. I sprung out on her. You don't have to. It's last minute. But come on, Brother Kerry, if you would, come up and have prayer with us. And is that too quick?
Just to remember the words in French.
Okay. You don't have to. We'll go ahead and let him have a word of prayer, and she can be thinking if she wants to. Fine. If not, that's okay too. But we appreciated them and sharing with us this morning a lot of questions about France and their work there. And so I'm going to ask him to lead us in prayer while she thinks. How about that?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you this morning for being in your house. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We cannot thank you enough for the grace you share upon us, for your mercy that endures forever. We pray, Lord, that you help us this morning not just to go through the motions of being in your house and leaving as we the same way that we came in. Help us, Lord, to worship you and to yes. praise you with an open heart, with a sincere spirit, and with a humble spirit, with a teachable heart. Be, Lord, with the pastor, and as he preaches your word, that we would be listening, not just with our ears, but, Lord, that you may speak to our hearts, that you help us, Lord, to have the humility needed to submit, obey, and to be the instruments that you want us to be that would bring you honor and glory, Lord, through the songs, through the prayers, through the service, and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I ask her. He can do it if he wants to. He said he didn't sing.
You don't want that.
Do you
want
to try it? That'd be interesting. Well, that's the only kind of tongues we allow here. When somebody understands, and they do.
I do not have Amazing Grace, and it's a song that's been translated, and I do not remember the words off the top of my head. But I do have the song Seek Ye First, the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto him. So in English, we would sing, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Cherchez d'abord le royaume de Dieu et sa justice, et toutes ces choses vous seront données en plus. Alleluia, alleluia.
That's pretty good on the spur of the moment. They've been serving for 20-something years in France. We support them for a long time. They're one of our missionaries. They're on furlough to report. If you have any questions, they'll be in the back of the table, and feel free to ask them.
Sweetest song I know, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Amen. right. Believeth in him, should not perish, but have
everlasting life.
Now I have
eternal life.
'Tis so sweet to know I have Jesus, only when I need him, right?
Amen.
Sure. What it says, I have Jesus with me.
Amen.
He will keep me from sin and from strife. He delivered me from condemnation. Now I have.
Thank
you. Now I have.
Yes.
Sing that second verse again. I like that. Think about it. What he gave us this morning. Aren't you glad you know the Lord?
Amen.
Show it. Say it. Amen. Praise him this morning. Amen. Let's worship the Lord this morning. He's here. Amen.
Yes.
Do that second
Amen.
Verse again.
Deliver me from condemnation.
Aren't you glad we can go to the Lord just as we are? And he's the one that cleans us up. Amen. Are you glad of that this morning? Are you glad to be in the Lord's house? This is the right place to be this morning. Amen. Stand with me. Let's sing this good old hymn number 125. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know on that first. There's within my heart of comes down, walk around, shake hands. Tell all the visitors you're glad to see them in the Lord's house this morning, as well as the members. Sing that last verse with me. Soon he's coming back on that last.
Soon he's coming back to help me. Far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to the sun. I shall reign with him on high. Sweetest name I know.
Appreciate you being here. Let's pray the Lord to bless the offering today. Appreciate the giving of our church. I say that, but I mean it. Appreciate you supporting our missionaries. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Lee, would you ask the blessing?
Father, we're just so thankful for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, this opportunity to give for your service, Lord. Bless our missionaries around the world as they preach today. We thank you for the abbots that were with us today. Just yes. Bless them in a special way there in France. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for all you've done. Bless this service as our pastor as he preaches your word.
Yes.
Thank you again for Jesus and all your blessings you've given us.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
I mean, let me remind you, next week we're the Little Luptons, our children's choir, is having practice at 5 o'clock. So if you've got a child 3 years old to 6th grade, come. We're still having youth choir and everything. We're just getting this going and everything on Sunday nights during adult choir. Kate and Kenley's doing it. So bring your children. I know y'all would now. Y'all go sit in the ball field or sit at whatever practice and wait on those kids. You can come and sit at a choir practice, amen, or you can come and join an adult choir. That'd be even better. But next week, Little Lupton's first practice at 5 o'clock in the children's church. So bring those children, please, so we can just worship the Lord. Amen.
Doesn't matter what we're going through. If we're going through a fire, if we're on the other side of it, we can still say we're blessed. We serve a God that is always seeking our best interest. And if it takes going through a fire, sometimes it has to be. But the bumps are what you climb on. And you always come out on the mountaintop when you're with the Lord. I'm so thankful. He loves us and we are always blessed no matter what. Some days you may lead me through green pastures. My heart drinks in deep, the water's sweet. And some days you may lead me through the desert. Even then you're still the reason I can see.
I am blessed beyond measure, so far beyond what's gained through earthly treasures. Whatever comes my way, still my soul will say, I am blessed.
The trouble, pain, and disappointments. When it seems that I have nothing left, you will never leave me or forsake me. I will testify until my dying breath.
Appreciate these ladies and their singing. Appreciate you being here today. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26, verse 47 through 50. We'll stand together and we read this. Matthew chapter 26, 47 through 50. It says, and while he spake, lo, Judas, now this is Jesus, they'd been to the upper room, had the Lord's Supper, and they'd come to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus had prayed three times. And it comes time for his arrest, and that's where we pick up. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they, and they laid hands on Jesus, and they took him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you'd bless, give us the presence of mind and remembrance in the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be able to preach today your word. I pray, Lord, if one's lost, they'll understand, God, where they are and where they're going. I pray that you'd use your spirit to speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk about this morning from this scripture, the fatal kiss. The fatal kiss. I'm talking about Judas, of course, kissing Christ. Been several fatal kisses in the Bible. One we studied about in our Sunday school class was when Orpah needs to kiss Jesus, but when Ruth had went down and her husband went to sojourn in Moab and her husband died, her boys got married, but they died, and she was heard as bread back in Bethlehem. The famine was over and she was heading back home, and her two daughter-in-laws were going with her, and then she stopped and said, y'all need to go back home. I don't have anything for you. You need to go back and find your husband. And we find that one of them kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. It said in verse 14 of Ruth chapter 1, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. The tragic in that kiss was Orpah loved, I think, Ruth. I think it was a genuine kiss of affection. But she left her and went back to her gods, back to her family, and never heard from again. Sad thing is, did she ever get saved? But that was a sad kiss, fatal in that respect. Joab kissed Amasa, and we'll not read any much of it, but 2 Samuel chapter 20. Joab was the commander-in-chief of David's army. He was replaced by Amasa. And when Joab met Amasa later after that, he said in verse 9 of chapter 20 of 2 Samuel, and Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? And took Amasa by the beard in his right hand and kissed him. And it says, but Amasa took no heed to the sword in that it was in Joab's hand. And so he smote him there under the fifth rib in his bowels and shed out his bowels to the ground. Joab come to Amasa. He didn't like it. He was replaced. Amasa took his job as commander-in-chief. When he met him, he took him by the beard with the right hand, said, art thou well, my brother? And he stabbed him and killed him. That's fatal. It's tragic is what it was. And there's other fatal kisses, I guess, in the Bible, but there's none so fatal as Judas's kiss on the cheek of Jesus. It was fatal and it was final, and we'll see some reasons why this was such a tragic event. First of all, we see the kiss of Judas. Judas greeted Jesus in these scriptures. He came to Jesus and he said in verse 49, he said, Hail, Master, and he kissed him. Well, hail is a form of greeting. It's a joyful greeting. It means to be cheerful or calmly happy, be well, Godspeed, rejoice. His greeting didn't show any signs of animosity or deceit. He was putting on an act. He's acting like everything was well and wishing Jesus the best. Of course, we know opposite that. Then we find that not only did he say hail to him, he said master. He called him master. Master, of course, means my master, my rabbi, the one I've been learning from the last 3 years. It sounded like it's a title of honor, but it was deceitful. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus and called him rabbi, and he was a lost man, but he genuinely meant what he said. He said, we know you're a teacher come from God. Nobody can do these miracles that you do except he's from God. So he was a symbol of respect. Judas's was not, he made it sound good. He made it sound like he was respecting and showing Jesus' honor, but he wasn't. So he greeted him and said, hail, master. And then he kissed him, as it said in verse 49. And it was a deceitful kiss because he had already sold Jesus and he knew it. Back before the Lord's Supper, Judas had went to the Pharisees and said, what will you give me and I'll deliver him to you? And so they said, well, 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, he had looked for opportunity to betray Christ. And of course, upper room, Jesus made that known. But anyway, he had already sold him out. He'd already done the deed. Now he was sealing the deal. And as he kissed Jesus, it was anything but affection. It wasn't a kiss of love. It was anything but wishing him the best. It was anything but saying, I'm a loyal disciple. It was a kiss of deceit, and it was a fatal kiss and a tragic kiss. And I want to give you several reasons why. First of all, he kissed God on the face. Can you imagine that? Jesus was God in the flesh. When Joseph found out that Mary was expecting a child before they come together, he knew it was not his, and he was wondering what to do. Well, the angel appeared to him and assured him that child is of the Holy Ghost. And what he said about that child, he said, verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." When Jesus was born in this world, he was God with us. He was God in the flesh. John chapter 1 says he was the Word. Verse 14 said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus was God in the flesh. John 14 and 9, he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So when Judas went up to kiss Jesus, isn't it sad to kiss God on the face and then go to hell? And that's what happened. But anyway, he kissed God on the face. And not only that, but he kissed the Savior on the face. Would you like to kiss the Savior if you could see him right now? He got a chance to kiss the Savior in Matthew chapter 1, the same scriptures, talking about Jesus' birth. And it said, speaking of Mary, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." His name means Savior, and he would save his people from his sins. Luke chapter 1, when Jesus was born, the angels came to the shepherds and was giving them great tidings of great joy. And it said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," which is Christ, "which is born unto this in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." When Jesus came into this world, he was the Savior, the one that came to save people from their sins. Luke chapter number 19, verse 10, after Zacchaeus was saved, he said, "I come into the world to seek and to save that which was lost." Judas was one of those lost people. And Jesus was the Savior of the world and could have been his Savior, but he kissed him on the cheek in deceit. Not only that, he kissed a faithful friend. A faithful friend. Verse 50 said, "When Judas came to him and kissed him, Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come?" That word friend, our word comrade, comes from a camaraderie. You know, that's when people are close together and tight-knit. They have a camaraderie. Well, Jesus looked at him and called him friend. And I think he meant what he said, don't you? I think he meant what he said. He knew Jesus was there in deceit, but he was Judas's friend. In Proverbs chapter number 18, verse 24, he said, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Closer than a brother. Chapter 17 of Proverbs says, "A friend loveth at all times." And I think Jesus was calling him friend. I think he loved him as a friend. And so he was his friend. John chapter 15, verse 13, he said, "No greater love hath any man that he would lay down his life for his friends." Jesus died for Judas just as he died for us. You know, the sad thing, we've been studying through the Psalms on Wednesday night, and I think we hit this one, but in Psalm 55, it describes what happened there that night. In verse 12, this is how Jesus felt toward Judas. It's the same way David felt toward Ahithophel, who betrayed him. He said, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that magnified himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him, but it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company." Jesus said it wasn't an enemy, it was a friend that came to him and betrayed him. When you look at Judas's life, he was chosen as one of the 12. He had spent over 3 years walking with Jesus, and they did take sweet counsel, and they shared times together, ministry together. But now here he is betraying what was supposed to be his friend, but Jesus was his friend. Not only that, he kissed the door to the sheepfold. He kissed the door to the sheepfold. In John chapter 10, Jesus gave the parable of the good shepherd. And then in verse number 9, I'm going back, verse 7, he said, "Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Verse 9, he said, "I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." He said, "I'm the door. I'm the way into the sheepfold. And if a man will come in, I'll save him. And he'll go in and out and find pasture." The shepherd would take care of him. He would feed him. This is what Jesus could have done for Judas. But Judas kissed the door to the sheepfold that night when he kissed him. Not only the way, he kissed the way to the Father's house. Kissed the way to the Father's house. John chapter 14 in verse number 2. John 14 verse 2. It said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Jesus, and he went in verse 6 and said, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh but by me." He said, if you want to go to the Father's house, you're going to have to come through me. Jesus went home to prepare a place for us, and he's got that place prepared, and he said, "I am the way to there." Judas got that close to the way to the Father's house and kissed him and turned away. But he kissed the way to the Father's house. Then not only that, but he kissed the truth on the face. You know, Judas was a deceiver. Judas was a liar. And Judas was a thief. But Jesus was the truth. John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You know, when he stood before Pilate, and Pilate was kind of getting frustrated, you know, with the situation. But in John chapter 18, verse number 37, Pilate said, therefore, talking to Jesus, unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that heareth my, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" I mean, he was listening to the Pharisees. He's listening to Jesus. "What is truth?" Jesus said, "I'm the truth. I'm the one telling you the way. I'm the one that's truth." And when Judas came up to Jesus that night and he kissed him on the face, he was kissing the truth. I tell you, you better find the truth. We live in a society that's full of deceit and lies. Religiously, I've never seen such a confused time in my life. I wondered when I was young how people that was older than me, they're getting close to death. I mean, that must be sad. Now that I are in that way, getting close to that, sometimes I'm glad. The things were so clear when I was a kid. Society wasn't confused about all these issues and moralities and all these other things. It was clear, wasn't it? It was a clear day. Right was right, wrong was wrong. Now it's gotten muddy and people are lying about. You got churches promoting everything and under the sun through homosexuality and Muslims are our friends and all this other kind of stuff. You better learn the truth. The Bible is truth. Jesus is truth. And he kissed the truth on the face. Not only that, he kissed eternal life on the face. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." John chapter 17, when Jesus was praying to the Father, he said in verse 2, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Jesus Christ is eternal life. Brother Bill mentioned that a while ago in the song, and he quoted John 3:16. It's through him that we have eternal life. Jesus is eternal life, and he has the power to give us eternal life. I like these verses in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. John wrote this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. The life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness that and show unto you that eternal life which was manifested with the which was with the Father and was manifested with us." John the Apostle wrote that word, and he said he was that eternal life, and he said we've heard him. John counted it a privilege, and he's an old man now, a privilege that when he was young, he got to hear Jesus Christ. Jesus was eternal life. He got to hear him. He said, "We've seen him with our eyes. We looked upon him." That means we gazed upon him. We watched him. And he said, "And we've handled him." I got to touch him. I got to hold him. And then, you know, the last hours of life in the upper room, Jesus got leaned on his breast. I mean, he got to physically hear and see and handle the eternal life which was Jesus Christ. Judas had the same opportunity. He walked with him 3.5 years. He heard what he said. He saw what he did. He had a chance to hold him. And now here he is putting a kiss on eternal life, but he'll never have it. It's sad to get that close, is it not? Not only that, he kissed the redeeming blood on his life. He kissed the redeeming blood with his lips. Luke 22, verse 44, when Jesus was in the garden, the Bible said his sweat became his great drops of blood. He was under such stress, literally blood was pouring through his pores. And when Judas came up to kiss Jesus, his lips touched the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been studying in Colossians chapter number 1, and we studied the other night. It said, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The very blood that would redeem him was on his very lips. 1 Peter 1:18, he said, we're not redeemed by corruptible things, but incorruptible. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Redeemed means, and we talked about it either Sunday night or Wednesday, redeemed, to buy back off the market of sin. The price of it was the blood of Jesus Christ. Now here's the price of redemption, and he kissed it and did not receive it. We'll see tonight in Colossians 1:20 that Jesus made peace and reconciled us through the blood of the cross. Here was a man needing reconciling, needing redeeming, needing eternal life, needing the way to heaven, and he's standing right in front of him and kissed him and then walked away. So what we find is Jesus did this, and he turned and he went to hell. This was the last night of his life. In John chapter 13, when Jesus is in the upper room, and he talks about the one that would betray him. He said in verse 26, Jesus had said somebody's going to betray him. John sat next to Jesus, and Peter said, pointed to him, ask him who it is. In verse 26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop. And when he had dipped it, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. That's a sad. Satan entered into him, and he went, and Satan entered him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, doest quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said unto him, buy those things which we have need against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. And he, having received the sop, immediately went out. And this is important, I think. It was night. He was going out into darkness. Boy, it was going to be darker than he ever thought. But Jesus said, what you do, do quickly. And he went out. Matthew 27, he went out, and we know what he did. We read about it. He went out and kissed Jesus and betrayed Jesus. In Matthew chapter 27, in verse number 1, it said, and when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said unto him, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself. Isn't that sad? Judas went out in the night, betrayed Christ. The next morning, when he saw what was going to happen to Jesus, he went to the priest, threw the money back. Love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And Judas was a thief, and he was the treasurer. He didn't like that money now. He threw it, and he went out, and he hanged himself. Now, he didn't go to hell because he committed suicide. He went to hell because he rejected Jesus. That's why you go to hell. In Acts chapter 1, when the apostles are talking about somebody to replace him, it describes Judas like this in verse 18. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And then it said in verse 25, talking to Judas, that he may take part, they're choosing somebody, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Judas went out and hung himself, and he went into hell, and he's still there tonight. Isn't that sad that he come that close? I mean, held him, kissed him, lived with him, and he turned around and he went to hell. And I think the question this morning, have we done the same thing? Have we kissed him and showed affection? Have we made a profession, but do we really know him? Oh, yeah, I got saved when I was a kid and this, that, and other, and I did too, and that's great. But I've heard a lot of stories where people, they knew that didn't really happen later in their life. Need to make sure. I'm not trying to bring doubt, but have we made a profession? Have we professed our love to him? I remember a contractor in Fort Payne. He was from out of town, but he was building some apartments in Fort Payne. It's been about 50 years ago. And that man was the biggest thief and liar thing I'd ever seen as a contractor. They're gold. Most of them's good. But, you know, he was stealing from the company. He was building his house in another city not far away. And I know he was charging the materials there. And he sent Dad over there to pour his basement and his floor. Daddy never got a dime out of it. He never paid him. But you know what he would say? The Lord's been good to me. He's been good to me. He said, you know, I got to get back in church. The Lord's been good to me. And then steal and lie. We need to make sure it's real. I was talking to a guy this week, said he was talking to another man, and the man made a profession when he was a kid. And he said, you know, he said, I just thought that thought was all there was to it. And, you know, it is easy to get saved. You're under conviction. You repent of your sins. You ask the Lord to save you. You believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin. He said, I thought that was all there was to it. And he's finding out as an adult, there's a little bit more to it than that. There's a life to live for Christ. If you're really saved, you'll live your life for Christ. It's more than just making a statement one day, oh, I believe, and making a profession. I mean, there's a heart change. I mean, it's a new creature been born in us. It's a new birth. And it's a life that he is now our Lord and Savior. Now, if he's Lord, he is master. And he is in control. He should be. Has our life proved that out? Sometimes we speak of Judas as Judas did. We think of him as a friend. Sometimes we've labored for him. When you read Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, when Jesus went out and chose his disciples and he sent them out to minister, one of them was Judas Iscariot. And it said who would betray him in verse 4. And he went out like everybody else. He went out and healed and done all that, preached the kingdom. He did all that. But he was as lost as he could be. He never believed on Christ as his Savior. Sometimes we've even worked for him, but our heart's not what it ought to be. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Luke 10:27, it says, this man answered Jesus, and Jesus said, what does the law say? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Do we love him that much, or is he a fire escape? Do we love? You know, I was saved as a boy too, and I got out in high school and got a little bit away. When I rededicated my life, I wanted to do everything I could. I would have went anywhere, done anything, because I loved him and I was dedicated my life and I wanted to serve him. Do you really love him? Does he control your life? If he's your master, he'll control every area of your life. If he's your Lord, he'll do it. But sometimes, you know, I think I've told you this before. I'm down in Fort Payne when I was building houses. The license department and the permits were in our old school, Forest Avenue School. But 60 years ago, boy, it's hard to say those things since I went there. And I was out there one day, and I walked out, and one of the old buildings was still there. They're all old buildings, most of them. I looked at it, and there's a fire escape on the side of that building. And it was in the classroom where I was in the second grade. The door had to be in that classroom. I thought, boy, I never saw that before. I thought, boy, if it had been a fire, I'd have found it. And I'd have remembered it very vividly. I didn't even remember the thing being there. But it would have been important if I needed it. Sometimes we treat Jesus like a fire escape. We know he's there. We believed on him. We've confessed him with our mouth. But have we really give our heart and life to Christ? I think we need to ask ourselves those questions sometimes. In Mark chapter 7, verse number 6. Mark 7, in verse number 6. And I've lost Mark. He's in here. Mark 7, verse number 6. He answered and said unto them, speaking to the Pharisees, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. And it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. They honor me here, but they don't know me here. Be careful that it's not just something you said, but it's something you did. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke 6:46. He said this, for why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say. You call me Lord, but you don't obey me. You don't follow me. You're not serving me. Titus chapter 1, verse 16, he said, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. He said, they profess they know God, but their works deny, their life deny, what they do denies him. You know, and I know well, I've been told not to say aged people, but us seasoned people. We know that used to, we meant what we said. And you're wondering if people are just going through the motions today because people think they can live any way they want to live now and be saved. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Things are going to change if we've been saved. So I wonder today, Judas had one last opportunity. Jesus handed him the sop and said, what you do quickly. He chose to go out, and he did. Maybe today he's giving somebody else an opportunity. Maybe you don't really know. I'm not trying to bring doubt, because I tell you, I know there's sometimes all of us have some doubts maybe about things, but the Bible said, examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. Has it affected your life? Or do you, yes, I'm going to heaven. I go to church once in a while, and then I live my life as I want to live. Listen, if you really fall in love with him, you'll want to serve him. Like I said, when I rededicated my life, I'd even went to Haiti or somewhere. And, you know, as you get older, things change. Brother Abby, I talked about this. You know, things change. And when I got to be an older person and had my first grandchildren, I thought, I went to the mission field for the first time, and I was afraid to go, because he might want me to stay over there. My first grandkid was over here. I mean, that's bad. You start thinking about things. But we really ought to all our life live it the way I'll do whatever he says, whatever he wants me to do. So let's stand together. Maybe somebody here has made that profession, but it's not affected your life. It's not changed it. Maybe you're like Judas. You've kissed him. You've professed a love for him, even professed faith. But have you really done it with your heart? If you're not saved, you need to. Judas went out into hell forever. Nobody wants to do that. We ask you to come today. Heavenly Father, pray that you bless this time of invitation. God, we cannot convict. We can't draw. The Holy Spirit has to do that. But I pray you'd help us all to examine ourselves, make sure we're in the faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I